We're now in week four of our homily series, God, who does he think he is? First week, Jesus essentially revealed, I'm the Christ and I'm God. And the last 2 weeks, this week and next week, all center on our responding to who Jesus says he is, on how to be a disciple. Is it lawful for a husband to divorce his wife? The Pharisees asked this question to Jesus, and later his disciples again question him on this. Or a more accurate translation is, the disciples asked the same question to Jesus. And Jesus' response to the disciples is, okay, I'll draw the dots, I'll connect the dots for you. Jesus' response to disciple may make you think, well, that's a nice idea, Jesus, but that's not going to work for me or for others. What gives God the authority to decide what marriage is? What gives God the authority to decide my fate, my plan for life? The answer is triple A. Author, authority, authentic. Those three words, author, authority, authentic, all look the same in English because they're all connected. God is the author of you and me, and he's designed us in a certain way. Jesus' response to the Pharisees is he hearkens back to what's said in the beginning, in Genesis, the way God designed man, woman, marriage. And that's what we heard in our first reading from Genesis. And in being the author, the creator of you and me, flows his authority to say, this is part of your very being. This is the way I made you. God's authority is just revealing, this is the way I made you. I want you to live authentic human life. Authentic human life is living in harmony with the way I made you. When I say I want authentic Mexican food or seafood or authentic whatever, I mean, I want the real thing. I don't want some fake substitute. I live a more authentic human life the more I live in harmony with the way God, the author of us, has made us. Now, right after that discussion on marriage, the scene of children being brought to Jesus, or more precisely, little children being brought to him. And Jesus, by receiving those children, is affirming the goodness of marriage, the children that come forth from marriage. And also, he mentions in this scene a quality that's necessary to be a disciple of Jesus. He speaks of accepting the kingdom of God as a child. Accepting the kingdom of God. Jesus is the king of the kingdom. He is the embodiment of the kingdom. So to accept, to receive Jesus and everything that he said, that's to receive the kingdom as a child. To accept the kingdom as a little child is to receive that with childlike trust. Small children trust their parents. They trust that their parents are going to take care of them. They trust what they're going to say because I know my mom, my dad, they love me, they care for me. A childlike trust in the Lord is accepting all that he's said about who I am, about who God is, and how I'm to live in harmony with the way he's made me. Because he loves me, he cares for me, and God would not lead me astray. Childlike trust in God allows me to then be a disciple, to trust what God has said and let him lead me. Now, God's amazed me with those who have childlike trust. One example was a man who came to me who was in the middle of a divorce. His wife had been unfaithful. He didn't want to give up on his wife, but she wanted a divorce, and she got it. And in walking with him, he realized, I can still be faithful even if my spouse isn't faithful. I can still be a father to my children, still be in their lives. I still keep in contact with him and walking with him. Another example of childlike trust, of trusting God's plan. A couple came to me, they wanted to become Catholic. And early in the process, it came surfaced that one of them had been married before. I explained the process of the marriage tribunal and helping getting that straightened out. In the meantime, I'm going over the faith, meeting with them as a couple, and the faith is just coming alive. It's evident that they're being drawn to the Catholic faith, to intimate relationship, friendship with the Lord. And after meeting with them for a number of months, they posed the question, so, Father, are we able to enter the church even though this the whole marriage thing isn't straightened out? And my response was, well, since you have small children, the church isn't going to ask you to separate. We care about those children. But are you willing to abstain from acts proper to married life? And I thought they would say, well, we'll think about it. But right then and there, they said, Father, we want to become Catholic. Yes, we're willing to do that. I received them into the church a couple of months later and still stay in contact with them, walking with them to help get their marriage straightened out. But that man who was divorced and that remarried couple accepted the Lord's teaching on marriage with childlike trust. They trusted what the Lord had said to be true, and God has embraced them, has blessed them in ways that I could never imagine, nor they could never imagine. Now, on Pope Francis's first full day here in the U.S., about a week and a half ago, one thing that didn't make the headlines, but what he said very poignantly was the primary reason for his visit to the U.S. was the cause of life and the family. And last Sunday, his last day here in the States, Pope Francis spoke of rebuilding an enthusiasm for having a family. He said, young people aren't indifferent about marriage and family life. Rather, they're afraid. And I'm sure that's true to some extent here in the West Burbs. Father, we want to get married, but we have fear of finances, commitment, fear of failure. And you're probably too busy to be able to meet with us to help get us ready for marriage. No, I'm never too busy to meet with a couple that wants to turn their friendship into a married friendship, a couple that wants to get married and start a family. Nor am I ever too busy to set aside other things to meet with an individual or a couple whose marriage is on the rocks, whose marriage needs straightening, that needs to be blessed. The future of the world isn't in changing merely political systems, economic systems, educational systems. The future of the world is in the family, because families form hearts. God's design and plan for marriage and the family life is good news. The family is a place of personal encounter commitment where someone learns what trust is and even what trial-like trust is. And that opens a person up to encounter the Lord and to respond with committed, with trust in the Lord as a disciple. Building up a culture of discipleship is founded on building up a culture of marriage and family life. What gives God the authority to decide my fate, my plan for life? The answer, God's the author. He made us a certain way, and his authority is only to say, I want you to live in authentic harmony. I want you to be truly happy. And accepting all that I've revealed with childlike trust is the first step to become my disciple. Since marriage and family life form hearts in commitment and in trust, marriage and family life are foundational to building up a culture of discipleship. Let's build up a culture of marriage and family life here at Holy Name of Jesus. Let's build up a culture of discipleship, a culture of authentic human flourishing.